Hello and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. Revenue Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisor for IT services firms. And we are here today with my partners, Matt Lockhart and Ryan Barnett, as well as our special guest, CJ Strell, who is the finance lead here at Revenue Rocket. And we're going to talk today about the cost of money and the increased cost of money and what impact that'll have on M&A. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. It's good to have CJ with us. I feel like our overall group IQ increased by more than a few percentage points now that we've got CJ with us.
I appreciate that, Matt. It's been a while since I've been on a call, so it's nice to be back. And so I'm excited to talk about how financing and how the macro environment and interest rates and all those type of things are going to impact M&A, because it's there's a lot of changes going on out there, and I'm sure a lot of people who are on our podcast today are hearing announcements and wondering how that's going to impact their deals. So excited to be a part about things today.
Yeah, and we're really excited to have you as well, CJ. Thanks for joining us. And just to kick this off and to level set, can you help us just explain what is the cost of money or what's the cost of capital, and could they be different? And help just the audience put some definitions when we talk about this topic in general.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to break this up into two pieces here. I think most of our conversation today is going to focus on, you know, really how's the interest rate market changing and how that's going to be impacting deals. But to kind of start out with, you know, when you think about a deal, there's kind of the cost of capital, and that's really broken into two pieces. There's kind of a debt portion of that, and then there's an equity portion. And when most of the time when you're doing kind of a deal evaluation, you're going to be looking at how you balance those two things in order to come up with the kind of, you know, optimum structure, capital structure for a business. But for today's discussion, I really want to have our focus be on, you know, what's going on in the macro environment and how are those macro things impacting, you know, valuations? How does it impact how you think about deal structure? And how some of those things are going to kind of impact the overall marketplace in the next, you know, few months to maybe years.
Well, let's dig right in. So if we think about that, just CJ, help us understand kind of what is the environment today, and we're in July, August timeframe of 2022. So describe to our audience what's happening on a macro sense, and start from there.
Okay. So let me take a quick moment to kind of review with the listeners how we think about valuations at Revenue Rocket, and then specifically I'll kind of pull out some of the key areas that the macro environment's impacting, and I'll talk about the macro environment. So when we think about valuations at Revenue Rocket, really we're thinking about kind of four key areas. One is growth, one is profitability, one is industry, and the last is volatility. And the macro environment is really a huge driver of volatility, and then growth and profitability. Let me just cover growth and profitability real quickly. As the macro environment, as we see a kind of a higher cost of interest rates, as we see a little bit slowing environment, obviously that's going to impact growth. The strengthening of the U.S. dollar, if a company has exposure to costs or revenues in other markets, that strengthening of the dollar is going to impact those. And then finally, volatility is an area where interest rates really impact kind of our discount rates and how we think about the value of a dollar today versus the value of a dollar in the future. And that's where interest rates are really going to be impacting kind of valuations. So to kind of take a step back, and what are we seeing in the macro environment right now? The first thing I think most people are aware of is that the Federal Reserve is embarking on a two-pronged approach to try and bring inflation under control. The first piece that most people are aware of, because they'll see that on television, is the increase interest rates. And we've seen now 75 basis point increases over the last two meetings. And the Federal Reserve has indicated that they're going to continue to increase interest rates really kind of through the end of the rest of the year. We're currently around 2.5%. A lot of folks see that going to about 4% towards the end of this year. The second piece that a lot of people don't realize is that the Federal Reserve is actually taking out a lot of liquidity from the market. In that pulling back of liquidity in the market, it actually increases volatility. Basically, it takes dollars that are floating around out there that could be used to do acquisitions or pay back debts, to buy things, and the Federal Reserve is shrinking the number of dollars that are out there. When they do that, it just creates a marketplace that becomes more volatile, and there's less dollars chasing assets. And when less dollars are chasing assets, if you think about supply and demand, you're typically going to see prices tend to move down a little bit. The other piece that a lot of people are seeing, especially if you decided to go on a vacation this summer overseas, is that the dollar has strengthened significantly over the last 6 months. And that strengthening of the dollar, it's happening for a couple of reasons. One, you have higher interest rates in the U.S., and then second, you have the Federal Reserve reducing the number of dollars. How that impacts our businesses that we're seeing, if you're a business and you have a lot of overseas costs, right, your costs are going to be significantly less. So when you're thinking about a transaction, if you're purchasing a business and they have overseas operations and most of their costs there, they're seeing a nice pickup in their gross margin because those costs are going down. Conversely, if they have a lot of sales overseas, when you try to bring those foreign currencies back into U.S. dollars, those are translating back at a lower rate. So those revenues are declining. And it's really important to understand like that dynamic right now, because the U.S. dollar strengthened against some currencies 20%. And that could be a big surprise if you were to make a purchase right now of a business that had a lot of costs overseas and not recognize that there's some artificial or at least temporary benefits to those type of things. And so the interest rates in the U.S. dollar, those type of things are kind of having an overall impact on liquidity, on, you know, the dollars that are available to go out and do investments. And it's beginning, you know, you're beginning to see that impact in the public markets. You see that in the NASDAQ really declining, as well as kind of the overall stock market. We'll have to wait and see to determine whether the kind of policy of reducing the liquidity and increasing interest rates, if that's going to have an impact on the overall economic cycle, and if we're going to have kind of like a recession. But these are definitely factors that are impacting people's decisions about making investments right now, Ryan.
That makes a lot of sense. When you start to consider this, what happens to buyers in this environment? Is it do they become more turtled in nature? Do they be more selective in nature? This could be for Mike, CJ, or Matt as well, but any indication of how buyers might treat this a little differently?
So we've had a large amount of liquidity in the marketplace for the last, say, 5 or 6 years. You've seen an explosion of private equity because of that, because there's all this money out there and people are looking for ways to make those investments, and they've been turning to private equity vehicles. A lot of times those vehicles are based upon an initial investment and leverage, okay? In an environment like now moving forward where you have higher interest rates, the cost of that leverage is going to cost more, and it's going to increase kind of the risk that you're taking in on your overall portfolio. And so it's probably likely over the next year to 2 years where we're going to see, you know, the cost of that liquidity being more. Because of that, you're probably going to begin to see more strategic buyers in the marketplace looking for opportunities, and you're probably going to see a little less activity from, you know, the private equity world. It wouldn't surprise me if we do have a little bit of a bump here kind of towards the end of the year, but the cost, you know, that cost of money, that cost of leverage, and kind of the increased volatility and risk that comes with kind of the market cycle that we're going to be in, that is going to have an impact probably on the number of buyers in the marketplace. I would expect to see, I was first expect to shift more to strategic, and then based upon how the economy rolls, you know, a little bit of a pullback there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to have an impact on the overall amount of buyers, CJ. I mean, and that's tough to, you know, it's tough to pinpoint exactly, you know, because the strategic imperatives, be it for financial buyers, who private equity firms who've bought into the tech-enabled services space, right? They've still got a lot of work to do to you know, sort of complete their platform, which then, you know, gives them the greatest payoff to their investment. Or certainly for strategic buyers, as you mentioned, the imperatives are there. I do agree. I think that if we looked back a year ago, we would say that the market was very frothy. There was just so much going on, and it drove people to deploy capital, to try to be maybe a little less risk averse with regards to transactions. And I think that, you know, what's going on in terms of the cost of capital and or the, you know, the liquidity, amount of liquidity, may reduce that frothiness a bit. People may be a little bit more conservative, a little bit more picky, but I don't know if they're going to exit the market altogether.
Yeah, man, I would agree with you. I definitely think the strategic imperative and the benefits for strategic buyers in our industry subsector is amazing. The returns on investment that you get when you make these deals is still incredibly strong given, you know, the increase that we've seen in the interest rate environment. So I agree with you there. I think that where deals are involving a lot more leverage, that's probably where you'll see a little bit of the decline.
So if you're Mike, looking to, go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, Mike, you've been through previous cycles like this. So what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, the tech industry is kind of insulated from the broader economy because of the, you know, the labor shortage scenarios around qualified tech labor. It's certainly in a, you know, we saw major impacts in the major last two major financial crises, but they were just that, right? They were, you know, post Y2K and 2008. I mean, those are very material times. There was impact and chilling of the market. I don't know if in a moderate downturn or even a, you know, we may argue that we don't see a recessive period. Certainly we see a interest rate increase coming to try to tamp down inflation. But I think this is going to be more, you know, if you want to use the term soft landing or whatever, in this current environment, I certainly don't see any decrease at this time anyway in demand. And certainly, we don't see any impact on valuations. There's always talk about, you know, will, you know, higher interest rate environment impact multiples and valuation? I certainly would love to get your perspective on that, CJ. But, you know, in actual deals are getting done, like, you know, now, we haven't necessarily seen that as of yet. Doesn't mean it might not come, but I think based on the dynamic of, you know, the ever-increasing percentage of the GDP that tech and tech services is, and the, you know, supply demand curve imbalances that exist, not only for labor, but also for technical talent more broadly by consumers of that talent and companies that need that specialized skill, that we may not really see it impact, any M&A volumes per se, or if so, it'd be very moderate and certainly not impact valuations. I know that buyers are hopeful that valuations will go down. We just haven't seen that. And likewise, we haven't seen the requisite demand decreases yet. So, you know, hard to predict the future. It's part of what we're trying to do here a little bit, but certainly, you know, time will tell.
I was going to say that to some extent we have seen some impacts, Mike, in the public markets, right? The public markets and the private markets are very different. And they're different for really important reasons. You know, we specialize here at Revenue Rocket, kind of the small and mid-size. Most of our clients have pretty strong cash flows. And that really matters right now because the more cash flows you have, the less impact kind of interest rates and kind of that decline in liquidity impacts things. So let me kind of explain that a little bit. So in the public markets, you probably hear a lot about the NASDAQ, and you might hear about some high flyers and stuff on the NASDAQ, and some of those companies have corrected pretty significantly. And the reason, one of the main reasons they've been correcting has to do with this kind of higher discount rate, this higher rate of return that's expected because of a couple of factors. So one of those factors is, you know, the volatility of the marketplace. One of those factors has to do with the increased cost of capital, the increased cost of money, or the risk-free rate. And that can be really significant because some of these companies, right, you have to go out 10 or 15 years sometimes to go out and find really good cash flows that support that value. And when you have to discount those cash flows all the way back today at a much higher rate, you will see pretty significant kind of move down in valuation. And you've seen that, right? I mean, the NASDAQ as a whole is down 20%. But you have some high flyers in there that, you know, had very little cash flows. They were maybe losing money today. Where in order to go and see when they're going to make money, you might have to go out 10 years. And so when you have to discount positive cash flows back 10 years in order to come up with a valuation, you get a really kind of strong market response to that. However, in our world, most of the clients that we work with are having, you know, some pretty strong, you know, cash flows, and those cash flows are coming in every month, coming in every year. And so when you have that kind of stability, and when you have that kind of near-term cash flow, the change in the discount rate, it doesn't have as much of a factor because we're not having to go out many, many years in the future to justify that valuation. And so in our world, Mike, you're absolutely right. We haven't seen too much of an impact right now based upon the movements in both liquidity as well as interest rates on our businesses. But, you know, every time those interest rates go up, that is having an impact on that discount rate. Obviously, it has more of an impact if you are a high growth company without cash flows than it does if you're, you know, a mid kind of growth company with really strong cash flows.
I guess I'd like to take a little bit curiosity question on a macro view. The reason why the Fed is making these adjustments is based on the increased, you know, just the growth of the economy in general. Has that growth been passed on to IT services firms? And is that one of the reasons why we're looking for buyers are still so interested in this market?
I think that's a great question for Matt.
Yes. you know, when we think about it in a macro sense, there is such an imbalance, and we've talked about this a lot, a supply and demand imbalance. And what do we mean by that? There's, you know, software is eating the world and has been for 20 years. And really going back to the last financial crisis of 2007, right, where large enterprise organizations were forced to decrease their workforce because their workforce was, you know, just such a high percentage of their overall expense, right? And so then they started to invest more and more in automation. Okay. Well, that was sort of the start of it. Then all of a sudden the money came back and digital and transformation became the name of the game. How am I going to interact with the marketplace, you know, through my technology footprint? And lo and behold, that sort of combined with the push to more automation and only increased the need for talent, for services, for people. Then layer on top of that, we've got the cybersecurity. And because of all of this automation and all of this new data and all of this new digital interaction, cybersecurity became that much more important. Well, that just put more pressure on this imbalance of supply and demand. And we're a long ways from fixing that. So, you know, that goes back to sort of what Mike was saying, that this marketplace is more insulated than just about any other marketplace on sort of the overall impact of what's going on in the market.
Hey, Ryan, I could probably add to that a little bit. I look at financial statements, you know, every day for the companies that are interacting with us. And sometimes, you know, I'm looking at four or five different companies each week. I think one of the things that's happening and why the kind of Federal Reserve is doing what it's doing is when you look at the kind of the financials across the board, you know, it looks like a lot of our clients are being able to take some price right now. They're being able to push through price increases kind of across the board. And you're seeing that pick up kind of in the revenues. And so in the IT space, because of what Matt just talked about, that supply demand imbalance, a lot of our companies are able to take advantage of that. Unfortunately, the downside to that, right, is that on the cost side, a lot of our clients, a lot of the folks I'm looking at, a lot of the financial statements, you know, we're seeing a pretty significant step up in both the cost of goods sold, especially for the people. And I'm sure that anyone listening to this is probably wondering, you know, how do I keep my employees? How do I prevent them from leaving? And I'm sure that, you know, salaries are being a big piece of that. What we had seen, Ryan, over the course of the last 2 or 3 years is that the opportunity for a lot of the financial statement, a lot of our customers to pass on prices, that increase was being, they were able to pass on increases more than they were actually seeing those kind of increase in costs. I would say in the last kind of 2 quarters, kind of going back to maybe the end of 2021, we've really started to see that flip, where yes, our clients are able to take, you know, they're able to take some price, but those cost increases that they're seeing in their business are starting to really eat up or eat away completely those kind of revenue increases. And I think that's kind of the whole definition of inflation, right? And I think that is what the Fed's trying to get out in front of right now and trying to bring down that inflation rate. And, you know, we'll see if they're able to be successful there.
Really interesting. Can you explain, does this give us any prognostics on what a seller should do as far as timing? And is this something where sellers should look at now and seize the day as there could be future rates and money could be tighter? Is this something where they should be concerned about valuation rates potentially decreasing? What should a seller take out of this discussion?
Well, from my perspective, and obviously I'm kind of the finance guy, I'll give you my thoughts. And then, you know, I think it's really important to get, you know, the perspective of Matt and Mike here. The first thing I would say is that a well-run business with strong margins producing great cash flows is always in demand. Strong growth rates, excellent conversion of sales to, you know, net cash. People are always looking for those opportunities, and there will always be an opportunity out there for well-run businesses with excellent cash flows to be sold at very good prices. With that being said, you know, when you're going to sell your company, you have to be aware of kind of what the overall macro environment looks like. I think right now, there's a couple of things that are really positive out there for sellers. You do have this environment where, you know, we have some revenue growth that's coming from inflation. That's out there, that price taking, that opportunity is there. And those prices can potentially be sticky, right? Conversely, you know, on the cost side, a lot of our customers are dealing with really significant increase in costs. And my expectation would be that we probably will see a little bit of softening in both that kind of contractor market as well as the employer market as the Fed really tries to deal with that imbalance in the marketplace. So the next couple months could be really exciting from a standpoint of really well-run businesses being able to capture some of that revenue growth, but being able to really hold the line on, you know, costs and be able to, over the next, say, year, be able to really kind of accelerate, you know, cash flow generation. One thing I also think is going to be true over the next year or so is that over the last 5 years, companies that didn't necessarily have a lot of net cash flow generation, because there was all this liquidity in the market, people were chasing those, and they were probably overpaying for those companies. And I think there's a lot of focus on that, both in the media, the stock market, all the excitement. Because when money is really cheap, you can take big swings. You can go out there and you can swing for the fences, and you don't have to worry as much about the return because interest rates are so low and the payback on that, you know, is pretty minimal. But as you see those interest rates move up, there's going to be a lot more focus on companies that produce cash flow. And that's kind of, I think, one of our niches. And I think that a lot of the folks that are listening on this call are thinking, hey, my business produces cash flow. You know, I don't understand how companies with no money, making zero money, how they get these great valuations. Well, I think that pendulum is going to start to swing back. And I think there'll be a lot more focus and a lot more opportunity. And probably, you know, a lot closer or a fairer valuation for companies that are producing, you know, great net cash flows to the bottom line. So that's kind of my perspective from a financial perspective. If I had a crystal ball and could tell you exactly what the economy is going to look like over the next year, I'd probably already be retired. So, I'm not that great at doing that. So I'm still working, but, I think that we all have to be cognizant that increased interest rates, as well as the reduction of the number of dollars out there, is going to pull back on liquidity. And as we see less dollars and less liquidity in the marketplace, that will probably have a little bit of a softening of the overall market. And that would be kind of my prediction.
You have too many young kids to retire, CJ, and you have too much fun doing what you're doing to retire anyways. So that's not going to happen. You know, I was going to go exactly where you started there, CJ, which is good, well-run businesses are always in demand. As we talked about, matching your capabilities to market needs is always smart. And regardless of whether or not you're thinking about selling your business. But, you know, you brought up the context of volatility earlier, CJ. And I think that being able to demonstrate how your business and the results of your business over time are predictable is probably, you know, going to be something that's really important when considering bringing your business to the market. And if that means that you know there's some things that need to be done in terms of longer term M&A readiness, then that's something to consider, because I agree with you that buyers are going to be looking for businesses that cash flow more than ever right now, given what's going on.
Yeah, I guess I would add, we've said from the beginning that it's all about, you know, optimizing the business for profit and growth. And being able to do that and run a well-run business serves you well today as, you know, business owners and leaders, as well as at the time of a potential exit or at you know, as a target for an acquisition, right? Healthy companies are great companies to buy, and there will always be in demand just because they're easier to integrate, they're easier to map your return rate, they're just, in general, a better target overall versus trying to do a turnaround or trying to, you know, take more risk. I think to CJ's point, you know, buyers are going to want to be taking less risk and certainly buying companies that have suboptimal profit vis-a-vis their peers or, you know, their charts aren't up and to the right, as we like to say, as it relates to growth and profitability, is probably going to mean they're less attractive, certainly. I think also I'd just like to comment, we get a lot of questions about, you know, the impact in a tightening market on valuation. And, you know, I have a little bit of a historical perspective on that I want to share just so people understand and level set. The outlying posts on that from the worst period of financial crisis and market chill to the boom market for any given firm, from my personal experience, has only been about a 2x EBITDA multiple. So the bottom would have been about, you know, 2x down from the top. You know, we don't think that this market interest rate increase environment, or which we'll maybe call it a market pause, less than a market slowdown, will have a material impact on valuations. It certainly will not have a 2x. We know that it'll be less than 1x. We just don't know how much less, if any, impact. So I just wanted to add some historical context to that. As you guys think about that, we get a lot of questions right now, like, well, is this the right time to sell? Should we sell? Should we wait? You know, I think when the time is right to sell, if you're running a healthy company, you shouldn't get overly consumed with market timing, right? It's the sort of same advice your financial advisor might give you about stock timing and stock picking, right? Pretty hard to predict the future and pick accordingly. I think from a M&A perspective, if you're running a healthy company and you have a competent advisor, which I'd put a plug in for that, variability in the valuations and the pressure on the valuations will be not all that material, not as material as you might think. And as a result, you know, there's much more of an opportunity to, if you run your business well at a, you know, top quartile profitability, to get a fair deal done at any time. And to Matt's point about, you know, great companies will always be in high demand, I think that's absolutely true.
Great points for everyone. Thank you, CJ, for being a guest here today. Any parting thoughts?
You know, I would probably just add that, you know, if we have some buyers on the call, they're also listening. And there are some things that are happening that are going to kind of make you need to dig in a little bit more into the financials when you get ready to do an acquisition. And that's the type of stuff that, you know, my team does. You know, I mentioned earlier about how FX is impacted and how that can impact some of the operations and stuff. And so I know a lot of the focus on this call has been on our sell side. But I think that there's a lot of things out there that as the macro environment changes, that's really, really relevant for the buy side. You know, for overall sell side, I think the main message is, you know, cash is still king. And if anything, it's probably become more king. And so, you know, when you think about how you structure deals, you know, you're going to be thinking about cash. When you think about how valuations are going to come up, it's going to be about really how much cash are you generating. The more cash you're generating in the short term, the less this entire discussion is going to have an impact. The more your growth, the more the cash flows are in the future, you know, the more that we're dependent upon forecast, that's where valuations are more impacted. So for anybody who's out there listening, if you've got a business and you're running it well, you've got, you know, great margins, it's dropping cash to the bottom line, this marketplace is actually probably firming up for you, because I think that recurring, dependable cash flows are going to be really highly in demand over the next probably 6 months to 18 months. And if that's the type of environment you're in, I think that you know, the M&A world can be could be the right place for you.
Great, thank you so much, Matt or Mike. If there's nothing else, I'll turn it over to Mike.
Yeah, it's great to have you on, CJ. We need to do it more often.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate the time.
You bet. Thanks, CJ and the team, for your insights today. With that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's podcast. Thanks, and make it a great week.